In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, a very blessed Merry Christmas to you all, especially those who may be joining us here at the Oratory for the very first time. Know that you are always most welcome to be with us and to pray with us. Immediately, Holy Mother Church tells us to turn our attention to the fullness of that which we celebrate. Again, we would like to think that we would be given some time before we would have to contemplate the cross, because we are indeed afraid of the mystery of the cross. We reject sacrifice and suffering. We find it difficult, those things we might have to endure in defense of our faith. And so Christmas time is often treated as that respite from the hardness of Catholicism, those days where we don't have to contemplate the sorrows of the cross, the difficulty of sacrifice. Those things are far removed. And yet if we believe that, then we simply aren't paying attention to the liturgical reality that Holy Mother Church herself presents for us. Yesterday was Christmas Day. Today also is Christmas Day and the Feast of St. Stephen. These are not at odds with each other because of the beauty of our faith. Quite the exact opposite is true. They beautifully sit side by side. And one might even be able to go a step further and say, in accepting the fullness of the Incarnation and rejoicing in the glories of new life that have come in the Word incarnate, one must likewise accept the mystery of the cross that he himself will bear. You cannot take those pieces, those aspects that are easy or convenient to you, those things that you like, those things that are pleasing of God, of Christ. You must take all of Christ. And the church says, just to be clear, here is all of Christ. And so here is St. Stephen, moved by the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, going forth and simply teaching. Nothing radical, nothing controversial, simply teaching about who Christ is and what it is that he has accomplished for them. But their hearts are hardened to him. They gnash their teeth and they rage against him, because they find what he has to say altogether too close to home. And so their response to him is not to accept truth, to embrace truth, but rather to destroy it. As they did to our Lord, so they will do to all those who follow after him, those who proclaim his words. But Stephen is never outdone in that which God has given to him. He doesn't return in kind, but instead asks God to forgive them this great sin that they commit. Commends himself into the hands of God and does so with a radiant visage. So at peace he is with God. That even, and maybe most especially, in the midst of suffering and sacrifice, he is able to find that joy that is part of our Christmas season. This is something, brothers and sisters, that the world neither understands, and if the world understands it, sadly refuses to accept it. That the joy and cross, or the joy of the cross, sit beautifully side by side. There is no shame in sacrifice or suffering. And likewise, then, there need be no fear of sacrifice or suffering, because in them and embracing them, there is newness and fullness of life, peace and joy to men of goodwill. Those are the words that the angels proclaimed in making the herald of the good news that the King was among us. But that same peace, that same calm, that same tranquility, that same joy is likewise present when we hold fast to the cross of Christ, when we willingly shed our blood in defense of truth. And we can do so with joy and peace, seeking forgiveness for those who have harmed us. And therein lies maybe the most difficult example that Stephen bestows upon us. Not only that he accepts his martyrdom with great peace, but goes even further, as our Lord himself did, to forgive those who persecute him. How willing are we to do precisely that? We grumble and complain against all those who persecute us, those who act against us. But not only are we not allowed to grumble against them, we must likewise forgive them, and to do all of this with joy. This is not an easy task. And as I preach it to you, I do so not as one who has found perfection, indeed, further from the truth that is indeed is. I struggle daily, sometimes hourly, to embrace the example that Stephen bestows upon us, to first accept my crosses, then to accept them with joy, and then to forgive those who impose those crosses upon me. Moment by moment, God says to me, you must find peace in the way that I find peace. Not on your terms, not in your understanding, not in the way that it is easy or comfortable for you, but that which I have gained for you. Because if we are indeed honest with ourselves, we know in those times when we have gained or garnered some measure, some degree of peace, it's fleeting. It comes and it goes. And there literally is very little to nothing we can do to actually hold on to it and to make it stay. But the peace that lasts, the peace that speaks to us in our very beings, that is a peace that comes from the blood of Christ. And therein lies our strength. It might be counterintuitive, and of course society and culture will tell us that it is. Of course, you cannot suffer and find peace. You cannot sacrifice and find joy. That's what the world says. But we don't listen to the world. We don't pay heed to the voices of men. We are prompted by the voices of angels who proclaim truth to us. And we listen to the prophetic voices that willingly shed their blood in the defense of the faith, in defense of truth. These are the words that we hear. The ones that we obey, the ones to which we adhere. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, we can live lives of joy and peace with no compromise, maybe more sacrifice, maybe more difficulty, but certainly no compromise, no sorrow or sadness, only that joy that comes from God, which is what we all want. Of course, we want it because it's Christmas and we're happy, and I love Christmas, but not in the way that I love Lent. And while I like the Christmas season, there's a part of me that's already anticipating the glories of Holy Week. When I talk about this, at times people look at me as if there something is slightly off about me. And there might be something slightly off about me, but nothing when it comes to the things of God. The truth is this. The joy of Christmas and the mystery of the Lord's cross beautifully sit side by side. If I want one, I must embrace the other. And if I embrace the cross, it is there that I will find joy, pure and simple. I got up this morning and did something I normally don't do. I looked at my phone, and I was reading something on the Book of the Face, and I saw a Christmas tree that had already been thrown into the street. For the rest of the world, Christmas is over. It ended depending on when your last meal was, or when the boxes were thrown into the trash, or when everyone went home. Christmas was over. But it is not over for us. It is just the beginning. This octave of Christmas will provide us wonderful opportunities to continue to contemplate the glories of the incarnate Word. It will also provide us opportunities to lean into the mystery of the cross. And then the extended Christmas season, which concludes for us traditionally on the feast of our Lord's presentation on Candlemas, we will have more time to allow these realities to rest beautifully, comfortably, not only in our minds as theological constructs, but in our hearts as the manner by which we live our lives. And so pray to be like St. Stephen, to embrace whatever crosses that you are enduring even at this moment, and then to rejoice in the crosses that you're being asked to bear, and to forgive those who persecute you. Because in truth, this is the best way to kneel before the babe in the arms of Our Lady and to rejoice and give thanks to God for the Word made flesh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.